Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everybody. It's time to get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and join us in Come and Reason Together, like it says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. Come, let us reason together. And we are in the book of Mark, and I'm Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
And I'm Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Please join us. And we are in Mark, chapter 1. We have read already in the other two, this is number 3 on the book of Mark. We've read verses 1 through 20 in Mark, so we're going to be starting in verse 21. But let me give you a reminder, if you haven't heard that much, or maybe you haven't heard any of this, but again, Ivan Pannon, the one that worked with Westcott and Hort to develop the most precise original language Greek Bible, which is the New Testament, he also worked with them in perfecting the Hebrew too, in finding the right words that actually showed a mathematical sequence, a mathematical pattern, a beautiful pattern that starts in Genesis, and the numbers 7 are always through there. And he proved each passage and each context and each verse and each word numerically, that they would fit. You would look at it, and if you didn't put down the letters, but put down the number value, Aleph in Hebrew is the first letter, it's got a value of 1. And Alpha, first letter in Greek, it also equals 1 in numeric value. The only languages in the world, the simplest languages in the world, there's only 2,000, actually a touch under 2,000 words that are root words, under 2,000 root words. Of course, there's compound words like theos is God, atheos, a meaning without, atheist, auth plus theos, without God, and agnostic, you add gnosis to know, without is a plus, you make knowledge without knowledge, agnostic, a plus gnosis. But so a person that's an agnostic doesn't know, and a person that's an atheist is without God. And it doesn't mean all of them are against God. It just says without God is actually that's what the word is saying. And some people, of course, are enemies to God, and that's the word Satan means an enemy to God. To be, and I tell you what, the Greek is amazingly precise, but sixth grade level. So we find this proliferation of the word euthus. I didn't say useless. Euthus, E-U-T-H-U-S, which means?
It means you're going to do something straight away.
And straight away means to English-speaking people, you're speaking in
right.
A high.
Straight away is an old word for do it right now.
Yeah, immediate.
Immediately.
Immediacy. Like being a waiter in a restaurant, yeah. You're a servant, and from a servant's point of view, or you're a doctor, and you get called in at 1 o'clock. You dress as quickly as you can if somebody's dying. If you're a good doctor, if you really are a doctor from your heart, you'll get in there, and you'll be right there ready to go into surgery to save that gentleman's life. So even from what we consider maybe a more menial job, dollar-wise, I mean, we're saying that with our dollar bills, that waiters and waitresses don't get that much. And you might think about that the next time you tip. If you've ever waited, I've waited, they appreciate the tips. They'll make more money on tips, and which will bring them up and help them out. Maybe they got kids at home. And doctors, we esteem them higher, so we have to pay them a lot more money, maybe a couple, $300,000-$500,000 a year versus $20,000-$30,000. And so whether we say it with our, really say it with our mouth, we really say it as a nation, you know, as a culture, we say it with our pocketbook. And, but anyway, this book is the book of servitude. How many times you, Andy just counted it. He made this list and he doesn't think it's very neat, but it's, I think it's neater than my list. And how many on there, how many times in the book of Mark did you find that word?
Immediately, 40.
Do you remember the last one that you really see that stands out in the Bible? In the Gospels, pardon me. When they were having communion and Jesus told Judas Iscariot, do what you have to do. And he left the communion. I'm saying it in my terms. Do your business, because you're going to get money for it. Remember the dollar sign where Jesus went in and cleansed the temple of the money changers? It had to do with church people, not secular people. It was the churches. He cleansed the temple. They had made it into a money-making thing. And then they didn't like what he had to say. They didn't like his doctrine. So and I'm talking the church leaders. I'm not talking about the people sitting. Today, we have to say like sitting in pews. It wasn't that way. There was no pews in the temple. And the temple had three rooms. It's not like an auditorium like people have today with hundreds of thousands of people. Only a certain amount of people would be able to enter there. There was never a crowd inside the temple, was there, Andy?
No, it was the people gathered on the outside. They didn't come inside. They came up on the outside of it.
And there were three chambers, and the holier or the more cleansed you had to be, the closer to God you would get to the inner court, the inner room, which is called the Holy of Holies. Outside of that was the holy place, and then the outer court. And outside of that is a place called Broadway. But just to give you the flavor of when Jesus goes into the temple, now Solomon's temple has a little bit different design, but that's not the one spoken of in the New Testament. The design of the temple is left like Moses had, the simple temple in...
That was a tent.
Right.
That would move.
A tent of meeting that would move along with them, which really portrayed what, Andy?
It portrays something like now, that God moves along with you.
And the temple was going to change, and we are the temple. We are God's temple if the Holy Spirit is living in us. And so all this stuff was going to change. So what we want to do is show, we went through Matthew, and please start in Matthew. If you get the whole series of these teachings, stop right there and just go back to Matthew and start from Matthew. Because Ivan Panin said you have to understand Matthew like a stepping stone before you understand what we're talking about now. And I hope you've done all of Matthew with us. And then to understand Luke, you have to understand Matthew. And then Mark, that's two steps. And then you come up to Luke, the third step. And then the final step is the book of John. And they ultimately, the goal is talked about in Matthew early on is, the first thing that we need to do and keep doing every day of our life is from what I see. I don't know of any time or any moment that we have to keep changing our mind. And if truth is truth, you just leave the truth there. But the changing of the mind is sometime when you find like dirt on the floor, you clean it up. You find your trash can full, you empty your trash can. There's just different things you'll find along the way, and all of a sudden your house is all spick and span. Well, then you're all right, but then things will mound up and you'll see it and you have to take care of it. Well, in God, we have to keep changing things. We get up every day and have new meals. We clean ourselves every day and so on. We have to do the maintenance. And so this first repentance that Jesus told us way back in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, change your mind is our maintenance. We do it big time the first time. It's like a rocket taking off and going to Mars or going to some distant planet or some distant galaxy, maybe someday. And
you break the grip of gravity off of you, and you become a totally a different way of traveling.
And a different direction, because you've always gone horizontal. No matter how you travel on the Earth, you're going horizontally or around the globe, because we're within the, we stay within the Earth's reach, within the gravity or whatever. And that's our life. We are in the clutches of the Earth. We're stuck in the Earth's gravity. But the first repentance that we experience is when we leave the Earth's gravity, we're born again. And the Greek is what, Andy?
It's the word anathen, which means up with force.
So we're talking, this is where we do a brand new direction. We have our goal set. It's Mars. Not here, though. This is a spiritual goal. It's Jesus.
And you're not held by all of these things of the Earth that used to hold you, whatever they might be. They can't hold you anymore. And you go up.
So from then on, you ever think of it this way? So we're going to use this rocket ship to explain repentance, exactly what Jesus means by this. So he says, do the big repentance first, which is where they crossed the Red Sea. They were no longer slaves in Egypt, or we'll call it slaves to this earth, slaves to sin and death. And we leave the Earth's gravity, and we become God's son. We don't become a Christian. God never calls us that. He calls us his children. Which one do you like better, Andy?
Well, son sounds closer than children.
Well, it's the truth, and that's...
I mean, they're both, but sons does sound, it's a stronger word.
And he's only chosen people whom he created in his image, but he has to remake us into his image again. And he's only called, and it says this two times. In a place where it says, you are not my people, there you will be called the sons of the living God. And in that Old Testament, Hosea 1:10, the sons of the living God, the sons of God is Ben Elohim. Ben is like Ben-Hur was actually just the son of Hur. It wasn't his first name. He was the son of Hur. Well, these are sons of Ben Elohim, sons of God. In a place where it says, you are not my people, all of a sudden they change from a people
to sons
of God, the adoption. And then that's quoted in Romans 9:26, verbatim. In a place where it says, you are not my people, there you'll be called sons of the living God. Except for it's not verbatim. It goes from Hebrew to Greek. And that's an interesting, we'll get it somewhere along the line. You'll hear us teach on how we can equate or equal Hebrew words to Greek words. When you find a quote exactly like this, that is a hotbed for, well, God means this kind of love. Ahav means love. In the Hebrew, exactly what he means, agape.
So if you can link those two languages together, but you're not linking them, if God has linked them together and put the old over in the new, all of a sudden we started saying, well, that's the missing link.
Right.
And we start looking for them. And I tell you, when Moses and the went through the Red Sea and that magnificent story that is impossible and unbelievable, but yet it happened. And all he did was go through a sea and held the sea up on each side. And as magnificent as that is, this anathen being born up with force is more magnificent than that.
The other was just
a visual that you could see. And this one is something that you have to see spiritually and understand more about it than just that Red Sea.
This is like a parable. This is the best you can understand right now. So that would be like the parable of telling this magnificent event that is supernatural, that's unbelievable, yet when you go through the water, it says, when you go through the water, I will be there.
Well, the wind came up at night and blew on the sea and made it stand up in a heap on the left and on the right. That's totally, there's no, gravity would not let that happen. That is an impossibility for that to happen on this earth, but yet God can make impossible things happen on the earth to save us.
And it says, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. Did you know, I'm a land surveyor. I have been licensed in 8 states. And if you do the topography, if you take the water out and do a topographical map on there, it looks like a highway right there, but it's below sea level. Miraculously, the water, and it has to be a miracle to move the water out of the way. But it looks just like a highway, and on the left and the right are all these remnants of chariot wheels.
And God, they saw that. Didn't they see that? How was that viewed? Something from space was looked down into that water? How does that work?
I can't remember exactly. I don't remember the technical way that is, but that's how they found lakes and so on, even bigger than our biggest. I think the Caspian Sea is the largest. There's one of the seas. I can't think of it. I think it's the Caspian Sea is the largest freshwater lake. There's a lake that's the largest in the world today, even bigger than the Great Lakes individually. And the biggest is Superior, which is 800 feet deep, and it's huge versus Michigan, although the only thing's only 400 feet. But these are all freshwater. Well, from space, all of a sudden, you look at this and you can tell what it was. It was a sea much bigger than our largest sea today. And even in Saudi Arabia, there's evidences that that place was totally different in the Sahara Desert and in Saudi Arabia, that there were canals that people would boat on.
So science has empirical evidence that under the Red Sea, there is a raised up road, and in that road were chariot wheels to this day.
Littered alongside.
Littered it. So, I mean, it is empirical evidence. It's not, it's information. It's not something that you, it's something that has been seen.
Just like there's evidence of airplanes, model airplanes, thousands of years old, before the time of Christ. Let's just, at least 2,000 years old, prior to the time of Christ, in like Peru and Ecuador. And there are existing leftover landing strips. You can tell it. They look exactly, if you look at the topography, like we worked on the Portland International Airport, we worked on their landing strip when I was working for Waker or Ginther. I think it was Waker Engineering. I was working for them when we used to work on their runways. And you can tell it's a runway.
So when God talks in the Bible and he's talking to people, hundreds of years ago, let's go, and he says, oh, there's nothing new under the sun. Well, he's not kidding.
And they found, predating Christ, manuals on takeoff and landing in India and in-flight procedures. Now, that doesn't get out in the news too often. But we've been looking at this since like 1980 or 1970. We've been looking at these. They're in scientific articles. I don't know why. I've seen a lot of them in like Smithsonian, I like Scientific American and so on like that. Great books. I got lost in that thought too. Oh, I was going to say, I want to get back to this thing with repentance. So the first repentance before we cross the Red Sea is a total change of direction. And it is miraculous how this happens. And then what the rocket ships do too, they have to have extraordinary fuel to break the Earth's gravity. And so they get to a certain altitude and they break those booster rockets, the fuel tanks.
They're jettisoned from it.
They're jettisoned right there. And then they go, and all along the way, they change direction a little bit. They reorient. They're looking at a point, and they're reorienting. And to us, the major goal is to be reunited with God the Father. And in the book of Acts, it shows us getting the Helper, and he will guide you into all truth. So now we have a navigational system when we're going up. I've never thought of it. This is the first day I've ever thought of it this way or explained it this way. And so we get a navigational system in our rocket by having the Holy Spirit. And then there, and we do this through Jesus Christ, and there's going to be a time where he meets us, and this is all going to happen. Well, first off, we do this, but we are traveling along the way, and our navigation, any correction is not drastic like going from horizontal to vertical. it's going to be changes that we will make along the way.
Yeah, it's not a 90-degree turn.
No.
You'd wreck the thing.
It's different things, changes in our lives that we need to get as we grow in the Lord. You know, when you're a one-year-old, when you're a baby, you can get away with a lot. But you still have to change. And then when you become 1 year old, you know, they start, or 2 years old, they start clamping things down. And there's the terrible twos, which way you're going to go. And, you know, with us as babies, not necessarily in the Lord, but these are things that happen to us physically, so I'm just saying it this way. And then three, my mom taught primary grades 1 through 3, and kids are still very malleable in their first 3 grades. And you want to stay, the one thing you want to carry with you for the whole flight is that being malleable, being changeable. And that's what repentance does. It takes an old guy like I am, 77, and it gives you some limp. You don't have to be so stiff. And you don't want to be stiff and cranky when you're 77. And you don't want to get cranky with God or get cranky with God's kids. And so the best way is to stay soft and tender and changeable. And that's the difference between your initial, trying to make it the most simple way I can explain it, that's your initial repentance where you totally change course. And then from then on, it's truing your course up. And once in a while, you can get pretty far off. You can, but you don't want to ever leave the way. But your thinking can, and maybe you've gotten off because God says, okay, now you're a 4-year-old, knock it off, knock this off. Or now you're a 5-year-old, knock this off. And, or I have other things to teach you. And so that's shown in that Matthew 4:17 says, change your mind because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. You're going to fly guy. And or gal, you're going to fly guy or gal. And then the next one in just 2 verses down is come and follow me. So you want to stay right up there with Jesus. You're going to be walking with him. So this is the idea of what we're doing here. I'm just reminding you back, but I'm looking back at Matthew. We can look back. We're not going to look ahead at Luke and John, but we're going to stay within Mark as to the points we've read. And your walk in the Lord, you can look back and remember some things that are really neat that helped you change, help you walk with the Lord. Now, maybe you got a little off course and we're in Mark and, you know, it's time to, you're a little bit older in the Lord. It's time to add something new in your walk. Maybe you haven't prayed enough. Maybe you don't trust in him. He says, our Father who art in heaven, when his kids came to him and said, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. And so he said to them, this is how you pray. Our Father who is in heaven, kingdom of the heavens, hallowed be thy name. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Keep that name holy. Don't use it because it'll affect your heart. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Keep your mouth pure. And hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in the heavens. And you can see how that really goes along with what he said at first, come and follow me and repent because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand.
And maybe you've had a walk with God that is stale, doesn't have movement in it, and all of those things. The real walk in God is to grow up, and growing up is always an adventure at every age. You didn't go look back and go, I hated being 3. Well, you were 3. You were 4. You were 5. And so God it's always something is moving. Jesus was always moving. He was saying, follow me, meaning he was in the front. He was always moving. So there's always growth and there's growing up in God. And this is something that we're talking about here and how God's going to show this through the books of the gospel. So we're in Mark right now.
I just had a flash. Consider the ant, thou sluggard. I think one of our biggest problems when we get old and stiff-necked or older and stiff-necked, we could be an old 20-year-old in the Lord. We could be an old 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50, whatever age, 50-year-old, 60-year-old. And it says, consider the ant, thou sluggard, and which having neither lord nor master gathers its food, you know, at the right time and everything. I think actually, I've never talked to you about this before, but I think laziness breeds rebellion to want to change. Oh, I'd rather just sit and watch TV. I don't want to get up and do any work. What do you think about laziness? And when we get lazy and let just the minister study the Bible.
People could be infected. I'll say not affected. They can be infected by that in this way. Jesus says to hear things and do. If you only hear what he says and are never told that he wants you to do anything and that's held away from you, your walk is going to be, it's not going to move at all. And there's not going to be any change because there's not going to be any do. And so you've been misaligned with what really the truth is to hear anyone that hears these words of mine and does them. And so doers of the word. And it could be that the minister is not a doer himself. And so he's not going to teach you how to be a doer.
He has everybody else working for him for free. Oh, I'm sure that doesn't happen. But they do it to just be part of this group, this happy-go-looking group that...
And the message is not right. If it leaves out doing, all of a sudden you get people just... And then another aspect is that when people come and start really following Jesus, that part of that is they're going to change their mind and they're going to be... There's a birth that takes place. And when a birth takes place, an infant is born, and then they have to grow up. Even if they're 75, they have to start growing up from a baby right there.
Or 93. We've known 93-year-old
babies.
And if
that element is not in their walk or in their belief system, all of a sudden, it's not the right one.
You know, I've known people 93 that act just like a baby. They are so excited to see you. They're so excited to learn. I knew a baby in the Lord that was the most successful house builder in New Mexico, built 22,000 homes, and he was a baby, and he read the Bible and studied 3 hours a day.
When he was 93 years old.
When he was 93, and he never quit when he was 90, till he was 98, and the Lord took him home. And he kept changing his mind.
So we're talking about the walk in the Lord with Jesus, the real walk, and the things that should happen. And the things that might be absent from your walk in the Lord because people haven't told you these things or you haven't been told the things that you need to do from the Bible. Not what I've got a list for, but what does Jesus list for us to do?
Also, I just had another flash thinking this in my head. Okay, I do all the things in Matthew, then I forget them because I'm on the other step. But if you've ever seen a staircase, I should be carrying everything I learned within my character, within my actions, onto the next one. So,
it's additive. Yes, you don't just throw it away and go, okay, I'll go do this one. No, everything's additive in this walk.
But I'm thinking specifically of Mark, and what we're thinking here is you just don't learn how to be a servant. And then forget it. You just have to serve just during while we're
it's
studying Mark.
It's part of your character, yes.
It needs to be part of our character, and we actually need to be better and better and better as we grow. And the time has come quickly to an end. Thank you for joining us, and until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347. Vancouver, Washington, 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.